cherubim shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim shine forth. Today is a day of thanksgiving. Father, we thank you. We recall your kindnesses. We recall your goodnesses. We recall your mercies. We recall even graces that has come from you, Father, to us. You've taken us out of the miry clay. You've set our feet upon the rock to stay. Thank you, Father, for that rock which is Christ. So there is no other foundation which should be laid than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for that foundation, that standard sure, that stone which you laid in Zion, that tried stone. Said he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Thank you for that stone this morning. Father, I pray that let light come from heaven to us. I ask for access for materials which should be built upon the stone. Materials for building our souls, for raising us up out of the flesh, moving us out of the flesh into the spirit. Father, we receive materials from heaven, even resources of revelation to help our soul. I ask, Lord, for breakthrough today. Father, I ask for access into life, an explanation, a revelation, exposition of your life. Thank you, our Father. I pray this morning, quicken our ears, everyone who's here, everyone who's listening. I ask for ability to comprehend at a quick rate, to move at frequency at which the light from glory is being shone upon us. I yield my vessel, my Father, to you in meekness, in brokenness, in humility. I pray, take my tongue, help my tongue to fetch counsel from above, so that I will not speak my own words, but I will speak by the express utterances and gift of the Spirit. Father, I thank you. I pray for, Lord, for the interpretation of the word of priority for this season. I ask that through the book, through the resources of the scripture, that you will come and add more riches to that which you began to say. I ask that by virtue of so much clarity which will come from the Spirit, may no heart go back in darkness. Let no heart go back in condemnation. Let no heart go back with anything but share measures of grace which will come out of you. Thank you, our Father. We yield this meeting to the Spirit. I ask the Holy Spirit of God, come and rest like a cloud over every heart and send your presence into our heart. Let your presence carry the thoughts, the word. Let the thoughts this morning ride upon the wings of the Spirit into our heart to bring forth establishment. Thank you, our Father. We give you all the glory and we worship your holy name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Please say good morning to someone and welcome them to the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. How are we all doing today? Are we awesome? Doing awesome. Awesomely. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Are we excited? Are we excited spiritually for what God is doing in our midst? I am. I'm excited. I'm sensing there's so much mercy for us. Thank you. Thank you, Father. We bless your name. We give you glory.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's see chapter 2, sorry. Amen. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Praise God. We are his workmanship in Christ Jesus unto good works, that God has before ordained that we should do what? That we should walk in them. Praise God. That we should walk in them. Let's see Colossians chapter 1. Praise God. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. See, you might what? Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Praise the Lord. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Amen. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And increasing in what? Amen. Increasing in the knowledge of God. In Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, let's go. Sorry, chapter 2, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, if we go from verse 1. Are we there? Yes, sir. Yeah, say amen.
Amen.
It says, and you hath he quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the what? The children of wrath, even as what? As others, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were what?
By
were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And verse 5 says, even when we're dead in sin, he has quickened us together with Christ. So, of course, there was a death that we once walked in. Am I correct? Before we got born again, there's a death we were walking in. We're walking in death. And that death was, verse 1, it says, we are dead in trespasses and sins. Praise God. And in that time, we had a conversation. We were settled into a conversation. There wasn't anything in our life that made us have a need to rise above that conversation. I was talking to my wife recently, and she was just giving me telling me a few things about her work and people at work, and just some things that you find strange, naturally as a Christian, how they're just okay with some things, like maybe gossiping completely about somebody. There's no sense of remorse that what we are doing is bad, you know, things like that. And those are things that we all did when we were in the world, and it's perfectly okay. Praise God. But when you are a Christian, there's just something about you that know that this is not, we can, even if you have the tendency to gossip, you can't gossip as a Christian and just like it's your nature, like it's just a common thing. Praise God. But it's very different for unbelievers. There are a lot of things that they are settled in. It's called a conversation. Say conversation.
Conversation.
So that conversation, in time past, we lived in that conversation. But God has quickened our spirit. He has raised our spirit man to a high standard that our soul now has to learn. So there is a conversation in our spirit man. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
There is a conversation in our spirit man that our soul has to acquire as well. Amen.
Amen.
And that conversation, praise God, the former conversation is what it calls, he said, we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the what?
Amen.
Were by nature the children of wrath. Praise God. That, you see, that conversation is actually where the works that we did when we were dead flow from. Right? Death that man does flows from a conversation within his heart. There's a conversation, a settled conversation within the heart of man, and that conversation produces his walk, praise God, which his walk is his work. What that walk means, when they say your spiritual walk, what you're walking out, the things you're doing, that is the work that your soul is doing, praise God. And that work stems out of that conversation. Now, the thing with that conversation, with the conversation of the heart of man, is that man's inward conversation can either kill or make alive. That no man walks and remains the same. Like, when you walk, you change, right? As you're walking, you are walking. Man's walk alters him. So when you are dead in trespasses and sin, the debt that we had in our soul was by virtue of trespassing. Trespassing, like we said on Wednesday, means you are walking where you should not walk. There's a path that man was designed to walk, but he went to another way. And when you go to another path, the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Is it the end of that way? It is what? There's a destruction at the end. Praise God. So it is actually, when you say destruction is not just a place you're going to. It's not a destination. Destruction is the end of a walk. Do you get that? Do you get that idea? That the end is destroyed. The end. And no man just gets destroyed in one day. You just get destroyed. Destruction means death beyond repair. All right? So when something can be bad, but it's not destroyed. It's bad, take it to the workshop, they fix it. Praise God. It can be bad, it can be dead. If it's dead, It can be made alive. So destruction is the end of death. When it dies and dies, and then it gives, see, this is now destroyed. It means that there is no repair anymore. Praise God. So destruction, you say, well, that way that seemed right to a man, that way means the way which his conversation, his natural conversation leads into. The end of that way is what? Is destruction. Praise, are you seeing that? The Bible says the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and finally. So when he steals and steals, he steals life, he kills. When he keeps killing, you die and die and die. At the end of death, you have destruction. That's what the Bible calls second death. Right, second death means a death you can't wake back from. Amen. Second death is a death that Jesus did not die for. Nobody died for it. they said when you die that death, there remaineth no more sacrifice. Praise God. Jesus did not die for men who died twice. He died for men who died once. Do you get what I mean? Praise God. So that's why if somebody comes born again, quickened, raised together from verse 2, to sit with Christ and to sit in heavenly places with Christ. And then he walks back from there and dies again. The kind of man he will become, God has not sent anybody to die for that kind of man.
Hi.
The kind of man that God sent someone to die for is man who died first time. The Adamic man, Adam that died. Is a kind of man, is a nature. Adam that died. So God sent a man. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. Praise God.
Amen.
And when he came to create a pathway from death to life. So man fell into a certain nature of death, praise God, in trespasses and sins. And Jesus came and said, take on that nature that died. And then bring forth a way that nature can come back to life. And when you do it, then become a teacher of that way. And as men are learning the way, they can also come back to life. Praise God. But when a man comes to life and then dies again, he's not the same kind of man like Adam or men who died before. Do you get that? It's not the same. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. Yes. It's not the same. The man that Jesus came to die for is the first creation man who died. And they recreate him. And he has a recreated spirit. Now, God did not send Jesus to die when a recreated spirit dies. That kind of man, he has no savior. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you seeing that?
Yes,
you know, there's a convention people say that is that when you are born again, that's the end. You can never die. Is that true?
No, sir.
It's very, very clear. It's not true. Amen. It's not true. That someone who is born again, a spirit that has been recreated, can die. Do you know why? Because what the anchor of life in man is not his spirit. The anchor of life in man is his soul. And the soul can decide, I want my spirit to live. The soul can decide, I want my spirit to die. So the soul can kill the spirit, the way the soul can make the spirit alive. Praise God. Now, when you were dead in trespasses and sins, as an unbeliever, your spirit man was dead. So when they came to preach, that evangelist that came to preach to you, when you got born again, he didn't come and preach to your dead spirit man. Who did he preach to? It's your soul. The soul is the receiver of preaching. The soul is the one you preach to. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Do I tell you something? And God, the way God made man is a very interesting thing. God made man, the real man is the spirit. But God put the destiny of the man in the soul. Now the soul decides the destiny of the man. So when the spirit dies, and God is a wisdom, you know that? If God put everything in the spirit, man would have been lost as soon as Adam sinned. Because his sin would have fallen. It is the because of the resilient nature of the soul. That is why man was not destroyed after the sin of Adam. Man died, but man was not destroyed. Because it takes a lot to destroy. The soul is strong. Even after tree of knowledge of good and evil came, it's not just open door, let us do everything Satan said. The soul is strong. The soul can still raise a voice and say, no, this is not right. And I'm sure someone like Abel. Praise God. Even not only Abel, even Adam, even though he opened the door and took the seed, but I don't believe he was living by that wisdom every day. I don't believe he must have seen, this thing is wrong, because there's so much life in the soul, in that living soul, that had judgment that could say, okay, there's something wrong. We made a mistake by disobeying. You know, it was outright disobedience. But after he disobeyed, he must have known there's something about this life that Satan brought. I must not give myself to. Why, where did that conversation come from? There's something God put in the soul that can resist death to a degree. You saw someone like Abel, right? While Cain, of course, someone like Cain, his own soul, this is where it becomes interesting. You see, Abel and Cain, they had the same father and mother, growing up in the same environment, but different soul conversation. Different what?
Soul conversation.
One of them, I believe Abel must have shut the door to that seed. That said, no, this is not right. We can't open the door to this. Abel must have known there was something wrong with what Satan brought. But Cain was gisting with it. Okay. So you mean if I do this, that will happen? All right. He was entertaining the conversation. The Bible says sin was knocking at his door. And of course, I know it's not just sin that was knocking. Sin wasn't only knock. You know the nature of sin. Sin is not a gentleman. Praise God. How many of you you think sin is a gentleman? You know, sin has come before gentlemanly. Say, let's do this. So, you know, I'm a Christian. Okay, you're a Christian. I will go away. Does sin behave like that?
Yes, sir.
When you tell sin I'm a Christian, sin will tell you I know.
I
was there when you got born again. We were there together. Praise God. So when sin was knocking at the door, sin wasn't only knocking. Sin was talking. Cain. There are a lot of things we can do. Look at this whole earth. Beautiful sphere that God has made. Just imagine what we can turn this earth into. Imagine what we can do. We have a glorious future together. He was knocking. Kept knocking. Praise God. Yeah. Are you seeing two different souls? Conversation. Different conversations. Amen. Abel was able to resist it. He's able to resist the conversation of sin, but Cain had no strength to resist it. He loved sin, and sin took over. The Bible says, why did he kill his brother? Say he slew him because his works were what? Were evil. What were those works? First, he started with conversation with sin. Say conversation.
Conversation.
So Cain had conversation from where evil works flew. So when he said he killed his brother because his works were evil. So it means that killing of the brother is not the work. It's an evil work, of sure, but that's not where the beginning of. Now when you think of Cain, he killed his brother. No. He has been doing works before. No man, imagine an Adamic man to get to a point where you kill your brother. A lot has happened to you. You have degenerated a lot. Praise, are you seeing the danger? So that's the danger of this conversation. Conversation. Say conversation.
Conversation.
It's a conversation of death. So he said, verse 3, he said, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and whereby what? Nature, children of what? Of wrath. Praise God. So you see, it's good for us to understand the power of our soul. Satan wants us not to think about the soul. focus on the spirit. Just look at, you're a Christian, you're born again, you are seated together with Christ, and then be happy. And it's just time to sit down and enjoy all the blessings that God will bring. But Satan knows that, he knows that the soul is powerful. Praise God. When man was dead, Jesus came. Jesus did not come to the spirit man first. When they are preaching Christ to you, they have to preach to the soul. And the soul has to make a decision. Should we believe or not? If the soul does not believe, the spirit cannot be born again. Are you seeing that? The spirit cannot be recreated. It's the soul that decides that we want the recreation. When the Bible says, with the heart, one what believeth unto righteousness. And remember that believing of righteousness in Romans chapter 10, I was saying that that chapter is speaking about what the believing of what you want to receive, right? When you say, I'm born again, the new birth, what does it mean? Two things. First, you believe that he was raised from the dead, right? In Romans chapter 10. He said there are two things. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you confess with your mouth his lordship, praise God. So that resurrection of Christ from the dead is what happened in Jesus that you need to happen to your spirit man. But for it to happen, they have to preach it to your soul. And your soul has a decision to make. Believe it or not believe it. If you don't believe it, you won't experience, you won't receive that, because you can't receive without believing. Praise God. So you see that that soul is vital. Now, when the soul has received that and the spirit has become quickened, the soul is still in that pole position. The soul can decide by its conversation, by its walk, that it's no longer interested in that quickened life anymore and begin to walk contrary to it. After a while, if the soul walks contrary to it for a long time, it will die, keep dying. The soul itself will keep dying and dying. And when the soul is destroyed, what will happen? The spirit can be cut off from God. And that kind of man is a different kind of man. He doesn't have a savior. Praise God. In the Bible, talk of unpardonable sin. That's what they are speaking of. You know, there's a way this scripture renders it. In some places, it calls it the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. That say that one cannot be forgiven. That blasphemy is not, Holy Ghost, I don't like you, you're not a good person. You can say that 100 times, you're not blaspheme. Because in your heart, to blaspheme against the Spirit, praise God. Say blasphemy.
Blasphemy.
Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Because it's by Holy Spirit that you are actually, is the one who operates redemption. Right? He's the one who what? Who operates redemption. So when you refuse the work of the Spirit of God, to blaspheme the Spirit, it's actually is blaspheming the person who makes you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is that they send the Spirit to be joined with your spirit. And is raised to God. It's what is connecting you. If it's just your soul now, some of us look more like the devil in our soul than God, even though we are born again. You get what I say? I mean, in terms of our behavior, just check, okay, let's leave that he's born again. Just check his heart, his conversation, his attitude. Check his feeling, his motives. Check the motives, check the feeling, how he feels towards people, how he's brought. Should even check how he feels towards God. You find that in many of us, in the weight, we have more characteristics of the devil than we have of God. So what really makes you named after the family of God, as we are now, is not the measure of how much like God you look like in your soul at this moment. It's your spirit. is your spirit man, because he's been joined. And what joins him is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is what makes you a member of God's family. So blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Praise God. If you go and read how Paul was speaking of there. Paul was talking about when you're speaking against that being who is the token, according to Ephesians 1, say you're token the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. So who did they purchase? Your soul, really. Right?
Yes,
but that soul has not been fully redeemed. God has redeemed little. That's why they have to preach to us in church so that full redemption can happen. So you can redeem fully the soul that has been purchased. But the earnest of inheritance, earnest means token, the first down payment, is Holy Spirit. It's here in Ephesians chapter 1. So when you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you are severing yourself. Blaspheming of Holy Ghost is the refusal of your salvation. You refuse it. You refuse the presence of the Spirit of God in your spirit man that makes you a member of the family of God. A person can't. It's not easy to do it. Even if you try to think yourself to do it, you might not be able to. It's not easy to get there. But his soul can journey and get there. Praise. And that's seconded. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
But that's not, we are not teaching second death today. But what we are teaching is that there is, before you get people, the soul get there, is a journey, right? It's a walk. And what leads there is death. Death in the soul. Praise God. It's what?
Death in the soul.
Is death in the soul. And we know, how does the soul die? The Bible says, the soul that sinned shall die. Right? So, in verse 1, says, and you had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see that? Who were dead in what?
Trespasses.
You were dead in trespasses and sins. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I want us to read something. Worship you. Amen.
Amen.
See in the book of Colossians. This is Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20. Colossians 1:20, are we there?
Yes, sir.
It says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether things there be things in earth or things in heaven. And verse 21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind, by what? Wicked works, yet now hath he what?
Reconciled.
So, it's alienated in your minds by what? By wicked works. So, those wicked works in the mind, they bring alienation from God. It's not possible for someone to harbor or have wicked works in your mind and be a friend of God. The word alien means enemies. Am I correct? The word alien means what?
Enemies.
They mean enemies. So it means that the issue of our works in our mind, like we've seen why they use works and mind here, because works flow from within, right? What you do outwardly is a manifestation of the works that are in the mind. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's see Ephesians 4. I want to read something else there. Praise God. I'll read Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17. Amen.
Amen.
Ephesians 4:17 says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Praise God. In the what?
Vanity of their mind.
"Having the understanding darkened, being alienated," that same word, "from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to walk all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not soon learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and then be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one body." Amen. Say, but be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that he may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Are you seeing that?
Yes, sir.
So having the Holy Spirit is not that you are rich. It's not redemption. There's what you call redemption of the purchased possession. But first, there is an earnest of the Spirit. To Ephesians 1, I won't just read that quickly for those of us who haven't seen that before. In Ephesians 1, what verse is that?
14.
Praise God. Amen. Let's read from verse 13. It says, "In whom you also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of" what?
Promise.
Are you seeing that? When you were believed, you were sealed. They put Holy Spirit inside you. But that's not all. Say, which is the earnest? That word earnest means, it's like a token. It's actually, the better word is maybe pledge. What's that?
Deposit.
It's a deposit. Yeah. It's a deposit or it's a pledge. You want to buy something, you come and say, okay, this is my deposit. That deposit is a pledge. I'm going to redeem the whole thing. It's actually, the Holy Spirit is actually a commitment of God to a cause. The cause is the redemption of the soul. So he sends the Holy Spirit in first. Praise God. So he said, "You are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." There is the purchasing of the possession, which happens at the new birth. God, through the blood of Jesus, he says, "You are bought with the precious blood of the Lamb." But the fact that you are bought doesn't mean you've been redeemed. Someone who has God's property, Satan can still be using him. Am I correct? I can live in this house now. Somebody else can come and buy the house. I'm still living here. He hasn't redeemed. It's his own. Check the papers. It's his own property. But there will be a day when I have to move out. Then he has to move in. Are you seeing the difference?
Yes, sir.
So you can be a child of God, but somebody else is living inside your soul. You know, your soul is a house. The house of God is not the spirit man. It's the soul. That's where all the organs needed for expression of life are inside the soul. Your will. Your will, your judgment, your heart, your conscience. Those are the things that are needed, that God needs to use. When you say God's house, yeah, God's temple, it's not your spirit man. Your spirit man is actually the house of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit is there. Amen. But when to take God, you know, the Holy Spirit is different from Son or Word and Father. Holy Spirit is not Logos. Amen. So Holy Spirit does not need furnishing of soul to dwell. Your spirit, there is spirit to spirit. So you come to your spirit man, everything I need is here. There. But when it comes to God, say God.
God
has movement. He has expression. He has life pattern. He has counsel. He has things. And all those things are hidden in the word. That's second person. So those beings, they don't come and build house for. Spirit man is not the house of God. He's the soul. Amen.
Amen.
Do you get that?
Yes, sir.
Is what?
Is
the soul. So when God is living in you, if your desires, your will is not available to God, then you are not a house for God. All those things in your soul, those are the things that make you a house for God. Praise God. So God can purchase you. Your spirit man is his own. But somebody else can be living in your house. What do I mean? If you are doing the will of the devil.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, you're fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. If you are still in that place, amen.
Right.
Now, in this Ephesians chapter 4, when it says, I beseech you, brethren, that you walk not as other Gentiles walk. He's writing to Christians who are born again, who have the Spirit of God in their spirit. They have Holy Ghost. But some of them are still walking like Gentiles. And he's not saying that don't walk like other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind or and all that stuff. Praise God. And when you do that, God cannot use you for the purpose for which he purchased you for. So the fact that he purchased you doesn't mean you are useful to him yet. So the Holy Spirit, when you get born again, is an inheritance. It's a down payment. An earnest or a token of our salvation until the redemption of the purchased possession. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So that redemption, of course, is a process. It's called the salvation of the soul, which is the reason why your soul is preached to, which is why you go to church, is to bring forth redemption to the soul. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So this verse 30 of Ephesians 4, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of what? Of redemption. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That word means unto the day of full redemption. Amen. And you know the picture of full redemption you see at the end of the Bible, chapter 21 of Revelation. Right? When God's house will emerge, which are souls who have been fully redeemed. And then the Bible says the tabernacle of God is what? The tabernacle of God is with what? Is with man. Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Let us see. The book of Galatians. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Galatians chapter 13, chapter 5, sorry. Galatians chapter 5. Amen. Verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill what?
The lust of the flesh.
For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, And these are contrary to one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Praise God.
Amen.
If ye be what?
Led by the Spirit.
You are not what?
Under the law.
Praise God.
Amen.
Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill what? The lust of the flesh. Amen. Now, this idea of flesh, I want to see if you can define flesh, what to walk in the flesh or be in the flesh is. Praise God. Now, in the beginning, when God created, we've seen like the levels of creatures that God made, right? You know, God is good in himself. We saw that, but when it came to creatures, they have their own level of goodness, right? The angels have their own, they're kind of creatures. Then we have men, praise God. Then you have animals who are even lower than man, right? In God, in the creation order in Genesis chapter 1, you saw God give the order very clearly. You saw man, you know, after he created everything, he now began to tell them what should eat what. He said, he told man, I've given you dominion over everything. Right? So, and that includes all the animals and all that. And then when it came to the animals, he spoke concerning the animals, and God actually said that he has given the animals as food all the plants on the earth. Read Genesis, you see it there. The Lord said that concerning the animals. So what God was trying to do, let's read that, please. Just want to show something. Praise God. Genesis chapter 1. I'll read from verse 27. Okay, let's read from verse 26. Genesis 1:26. It said, and God said, let us make man in our image, right? After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, right? So man has dominion over everything on the earth that's below him. So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be multiply, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So what God is actually doing was showing man, praise God,
hallelujah,
Who is directly under him. So anything that is in the realm of animals, right, they are under man. That's verse 28. Praise God.
Amen.
Then verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb, right, bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree, even its seed, to you, what? Shall be food for meat. Are you seeing that? So God gave man dominion over animals, all the animals on the earth. That's the biological, praise God, not biological. Yeah, animal life, both fishes, the birds and everything. And then he spoke about the botanical life as well, which is all the trees, praise God.
Hallelujah.
But you now see in verse 30, he now says, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, right? Mm-hmm. And to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. So animals have their own dominion too. Their own dominion is that there are things that are given to them, means the botanical life, the trees and all that, are below the animals. Are you seeing that? That's what it's showing here. Okay. Now, these animals, there's different between what makes man higher than animals is that these animals are not spiritual creatures. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
They are not what?
Spiritual.
They are not spiritual creatures. They don't have a spirit man. No animal has what?
Spirit man.
A spirit man. Because they are not created in the image and likeness of God. No animal has spirit man. So man is a higher kind of creature than them. And animals are higher than plants. Because plants don't have soul. All they have is body. Is that correct? All they have is what?
Body.
Is body. The leaves, the tree, right? They don't, there's no soul there. They only have body. Plants have only body. Animals have body and what?
Soul.
And soul. Amen?
Amen.
So animals have mind. Praise God. Do you agree?
Yes, sir.
They have mind. They have what?
Mind.
The body of animals is higher than body of plants. Right? The kind of cells they have are different. If you study biology, you can tell. The body, in terms of the organization, in terms of the body, the intelligence of the body, is higher than that of plants. Praise God. Now, animals' soul and human beings' soul are not the same kind. Human soul is way higher than soul of what?
Animals.
Animals have mind. They don't have heart. They don't have, their soul has no spiritual side part because they don't have a spirit man. There's no need for you to have a spiritual component in their soul. But man is different. Man has heart, which relates with the spirit of a man. So an animal's soul just has mind, which relates with their brain. Right? Brain and what? And what? Mind. That's all this their soul has. Praise God. Are you seeing that now? They have brain, which is operated by their mind, and then which controls their body. Praise God. But man is higher. Man has his own spiritual dimension to him. He has a spirit man. He doesn't only have a mind. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
There's another part of him which is more important than the mind. It's the heart, where the conscience is. No animal has conscience. But man has conscience, which is in the heart, which relates with the spirit. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So man is higher than what? Than animals. Praise God. But I'll tell you what sin does. This is what sin does. Sin's purpose is to reduce man, make man an animal. Yes. Make man functionally a what? An animal. How do you make man like an animal? Shut out anything that is spiritual. Shut it off. Make sure it doesn't operate by the spirit. Make sure it doesn't live from the heart. Expand the mind. Make him mainly mind and body. Are you seeing that? When a man becomes mainly mind and body, is what you call flesh. Flesh is like animal. Animal is flesh. Animals. So that word flesh, it's not just this. That's not what we're talking about in the scriptures. When they're talking flesh, flesh, don't walk after the flesh, live not after the flesh, do not walk according to the flesh. It's not just this body. They are talking of flesh is an alliance. It's a mind-body alliance. Flesh is any kind of life that doesn't move higher than mind and body agreement. When you live like that, you are living in the flesh. You're living like an animal. Praise God. Praise God. You see in the book of Genesis, the product of sin in by chapter 6. When you go to chapter 6, praise God. You see in chapter 6, verse 1. Let's read chapter 6, verse 1. Praise God. So then it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And this word, what it means here, they chose. They chose. What that means is that there was no spiritual process involved in the choosing. His wife, which they chose. This is, man should not, the order of man is that man should not choose wife. God did not create 100 women, and he didn't make 100 women out of Adam's ribs. And I say, Adam, wake up, choose. Did he do that? He didn't do that. He said, Adam, he didn't say, Adam, okay, I've prepared 100 different kind of variety of women from you. Choose the one you like. No. Adam, God brought out the Eve from Adam. And the Bible says he brought her to him. He brought her to him. In short, in his intention, he said, I will make him an helper, meet, fit for him. That's, I will make him an helper, fit for him. And then he brought what when God designed Eve, it was in his mind. He knew what Adam wants, what Adam needs. And then he brought it to her, to him. And then Adam recognized it. Ah, this is the bone of my bone. This is the flesh of my flesh. Praise God. Marriage is not you choosing. Marriage is you discovering what God has chosen for you. You can mix it up. You think he's choosing. What?
People are married
that they choose, yeah. Many are you seeing that? He's not choosing the choice of your life partner, no. I have to choose a life partner, you know. You're not supposed to choose a life partner, they ought to reveal it to you. That's the order of God, because whoever you marry, she must be a helper, meet. That's what it's, that's the land. That word meet means compare, means it's for, it's exact. It has to be right. Praise God. So it means that if there's one right for you, it must come by revelation. It must not be your choice. Amen. Praise God. It must not be your what? It must not be your choice. Choice is animalistic. Yeah. Yes, like that. It is. Praise God. Choice is like an animal. It means that when you choose, animals, they choose based on what they see. There's nothing deeper, it's outward. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But for man, it's different. It's supposed to be different. So you see, it got to a point when sin began to work in man. Sin began to work and work and work and work on man for a while. Generation after generation, it got to a generation that men had multiplied on the earth. And you now see, and men, now daughters were born to them, and the sons of God saw daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of them wives of all which they chose. And when they did that, verse 3 says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Means I've given up. Because man has just manifested himself. It says, yet and what? For that he also, his flesh. That word also means like animals. Man also is flesh. Yes. And then God now shortened his days. Let's not give him too much time. If we give him too much time, there won't even be spirits at all anymore. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
My spirit shall not strive with man. Because he also is flesh. It means he has settled into flesh. He has settled into flesh. So my spirit will no longer strive with him. What that was striving means, I've been trying to, you know, though seed of knowledge of good and evil has been sown, but my spirit has been trying to negotiate. When sin is speaking, I speak too. When sin is speaking, and sin does not like that voice. Sin wants always to keep man away. That's why, always away from the voice. That's the nature of sin manifestation in the garden, right? When they say, Adam, where are you? Adam say, I heard your voice walking in the garden, and I hid myself. Praise God. That was sin counseled him, hey, don't go. Stay here. Hide away from God. Praise God. Because God's spirit always has something to say. Amen. Are you seeing that?
Yes, sir.
But when man settles into a lower conversation, right? Man settles to a lower place. And now what is the life of flesh? Life of flesh is when you limit your life experience to mind and body. Are you seeing that? You don't plug yourself into a spiritual flow. Into that to govern what you do. That is the life. That's what the Bible calls flesh. When they say do not walk in the flesh, that's what they're talking of. Are you seeing that?
Yes.
Now, I'll just see all the scriptures we've read concerning flesh. They're always talking about mind, mind, mind. Have you read that?
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed that? That Ephesians chapter 1. Right? Let's read that. Ephesians 1 again. I'm sorry that we are going back again, reading all these things. But they have to bring some definition to it. Praise God. This is Ephesians 1. It says, among whom also, right? Verse 3. Ephesians 2, I'm sorry. Ephesians 2, verse 3. It says, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That is, so at least when someone who is flesh, you see that mind will always be agreeing with body, with outward. And when you become locked into fulfilling that desire, that is the life of flesh. Praise God. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? Praise God. You see Ephesians 4. See what it says in Ephesians 4. Thank you. Okay, let's see first that Colossians 1. We read it before. Colossians 4. You see that verse? Colossians 1, sorry. Colossians 1, verse 21, right? It says, and who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Yet now has he what? Reconciled. So someone who is really in the flesh is mind governed. Is what?
Mind governed. Is mainly
mind governed. Now, does that mean their heart is righteous? No. Of course, their heart is not righteous. They are going through a season of programming. Right? Initially, God wrote living soul, which had goodness in it. But when Satan came, Satan said, okay, that living soul, what God wrote in the living soul, his breath, his life, his laws, are those good laws that was in Adam. He knows that where he put them are in the heart. They are stored in his heart. Okay. So what he would do, if man is able to live from his heart constantly, he will be living well and he will be obeying God. Let us teach him, let us teach this mind how not to live in alignment with the heart, right? Which is where the spiritual laws are. Let's teach the mind how to cooperate more with the body. When we do that, we are able to rewrite the law in the heart. Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
Because as you are doing it, as you are doing seen in alignment with the body, you are killing laws that are written within. Yes. Are you seeing that? You now see why he went the way he did. Now, the difference between God's operation, right, and Satan's operation, they are both after the heart. They want to reculture the heart, retrain the heart. But what they use is different. In order to retrain the heart, you have to make the man begin to relate with some kind of organization of life, cosmos. Do you get that? Are you seeing that?
Yes, sir.
Cosmos, organization of life, logos. For God, it is not outward. It's in the spirit. So if you can get man to use the mind, say, to be carnally minded, is death. That death is death inside the soul. Are you seeing that? That's Romans chapter 8. I think, the 8? Is it Romans? Okay. To be carnally minded is death. Right? If someone, what you use your mind carnally, carnal, say God is carnal. Carnal means body, outwardly. When you are carnally minded, the heart will die. But to be spiritually minded, life and peace. Are you seeing that?
Yes, sir.
So you can rewrite what is inside the man by what is the mind is being used for. If the mind forms alignment with outward, but not just the body, like I said, there must be a cosmos that the person is learning, right? God's own is in the spirit. That's why I'm using scripture. Scripture can paint the world of the spirit to you. And your mind can be spiritual. When your mind becomes spiritual, it begins to relate with God's own world. What will happen? It will begin to reculture the heart. But Satan now says, okay, I need to bring my own logos. You know, Satan has his own logos.
Yes, sir.
What is his logos? The world. Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
His own logos is what?
The world.
His own is that, don't worry, you don't have to read book. There's no holy book, nothing. Just be alive. Just wake up, go to work, come back, go to school, come back, have your children, have your wife. Just live in the world. This world, there is a logos, it's a dark logos that has been designed, the system in which men live. And as long as you are living here, you are only fetching life through your senses. What is happening? You will die because you're carnally minded. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Am I saying something?
Yes, sir.
I want to see that in that Galatians, sorry. We'll soon be done. Okay. Why are you laughing? Praise God. Thank you. See Galatians chapter 5. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Brother, say amen.
Amen.
It says, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit. Are you seeing that?
Yes, sir.
And the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Praise God. Then verse 19 now says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like. So of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall, say
shall,
is not might. It's not, it will be very hard. You know the Israel language, it's easier for a camel to enter into the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. Jesus did not say a rich man shall not enter into the kingdom. He just said it's easier. But here, he says shall. There is no negotiation if you do these things. Are there people who will do these things and go to heaven?
Yeah.
There will be people.
Yeah.
We've learned enough to know that heaven is not kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Someone can be in heaven
mm-hmm.
and have not accessed the kingdom. Kingdom is not a place. It's a dominion of God.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
The heaven and earth will pass away, but the kingdom of God is an everlasting kingdom that will not pass. Amen.
Amen.
Now, so he says that they which do such things shall not inherit. Are you seeing the kingdom we've been preaching? Are you seeing all those things? As long as you have all these things here, they are making it very clear to you. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, when someone enters into the kingdom, there's still work that needs to be done. Because there's journeying from entrance. Then Jesus spoke about something called greatness in the kingdom, where you sit upon the throne. So there is still some application of the blood in purging of the conscience from dead works. Now, that word dead works, according to Hebrews chapter 9, is not all works of the flesh. There are some other works which are also dead works because they are not alive in the order of the quickening spirit. They are, praise God, but it's not all works of the flesh. But when it comes to works of the flesh, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
When it comes to work of the flesh, anybody who wants to inherit God's kingdom, inherit means own the kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
All that God wants to give to man, they must be free from these works. Idolatry. Okay, like the first one they said was adultery, then fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So these are just examples. They are not exhaustive. Praise God. See, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Are you seeing that? What is living in the Spirit means you are born again. You are recreated. But you can be recreated and not be walking. They are telling you, okay, because if you are born again and you have all these things, you won't inherit the kingdom. Now, because of that, you should start walking in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I believe the reason for this message, they want to awaken us to the standard that heaven is requiring from us in terms of our walk and the way we walk as Christians. There are things that the devil is bad. There are things he can make you ignore in your life. Right, he can make you ignore them. You just, this one now. You won't see that this thing can stop you.
Mm.
F- from inheritance. You just, this is just something that we do. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Works of the flesh can stop you from inheriting the kingdom. Works of the flesh. Works of the flesh. Works of the flesh. Some of us can say, ah, okay, now, I don't fornicate. I don't drink, drunkenness, and all that. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But there are many things that we do. It's not just whether you fornicate and all that. There are things that we do. Amen.
Amen.
Anything that is alignment in alignment with the outward man. Right? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Without paying, without being submissive to the Spirit or the leading of the Spirit of God is work of the flesh. Is work of what? Is work of the flesh. Say, do not be desirous of vainglory. Amen.
Amen.
Vanity. One thing that flesh does is flesh stops you from obeying the revelation that you have. You can have revelation, but if you are walking in the flesh, you will not do revelation. For example, one of the DNA of Christ is service. Right? Service. What is service? And that's also a principle of the kingdom. Right? Jesus modeled it. He showed it. He told them that, look, if you don't wash my, if you don't allow me to wash your feet. Peter was arguing. He said, look, if you, I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. I'm trying to show you something. Praise God. He said, the least of you is the least. He that will humble himself. Praise the Lord. So that's the order of the kingdom. Amen. And now that thing is it's revelation. You can sit and you know it. Ah, we should be meek. Oh, we should be meek. Oh, we should be meek. You've let meekness. But when you have not dealt with alliance to flesh, you can never walk in meekness. You can't walk in service. It will just be a revelation. Because when it's time to do it, flesh will say, no, we don't. In fact, flesh will keep you in a place, in a state where you can't avail yourself to obey the revelations. You're supposed to serve your brother, right? When it's time to serve your brother, that's revelation. You should serve. The flesh will say, no, you did this thing yesterday and day before. If you keep doing this thing, what will happen? Is there something he needs to learn too? Who is talking?
Flesh.
And it's strong. Flesh can stop us from. Chapter one of the flesh is wanting to just be comfortable, not wanting to give yourself. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
At this level, there shouldn't be anything. There's something I'm trying to break into. I'm seeing it, but I need utterance. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. There's just something I'm seeing. It's It's the way Satan, that's how Satan can suspend someone. You are hearing a lot, but you can't translate it into walking. There's a way he can condition your mind. And it's not something that should be, it's something you have to face head on. The capacity that you know what to do and not do it is wrong. If maybe you don't have the revelation for it, it's different. When you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, maybe you can find some other way, some other maybe interpretation of the revelation to not avoid doing it. It's wrong. Is wrong. That is the nature of flesh. Nature of flesh is, you know, when revelation from spirit comes, it's coming from the heart, right?
Yes, sir.
It's coming from deep somewhere. You just know this is what I should do, right? Most times, for that revelation from your spirit, when it's coming, when you check in your mind, there are many counter logic against doing that thing.
Yes, sir.
If you are living with somebody who does something bad, and they know you know it's bad, and they, every time you cover it or you help them, praise God, and you keep doing it, and you know, and you are doing it, and there's something in your heart, you know it's right to keep doing it, but there is a lot of logic in the mind that can give you a reasons why you must not. They must grow up. They must learn. They must do this. You got what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So, there's a way you can, because of insincerity, you will now submit to those things and say, okay, because you have to teach him, I have to train him. You get what I'm saying?
Yes,
you will not yield to the leading of the Spirit to serve. A lot of times this happens, praise God, this thing is deep. When word is coming, the operation of disobedience morphs among brethren. Maybe some brethren who were just rascal, unbelievers before. When they start hearing word, they're not so hard, there are some things we shouldn't do. So there are some things they can cut off, but they are able to now, things that are not outward, not clear. Right now, as they might not be going to, you know, having three girlfriends anymore. Of course, you can't have three girlfriends. Something's wrong with you. Imagine you have three girlfriends and maybe you come to meeting with them. You can't do that. Praise God. So of course you won't. Of course, you can't have three girlfriends anymore. But you know what you can do? You can have three sisters you talk to secretly. They are not girlfriends. You know, of course, they are not girlfriends now. Huh? But you talk to them secretly. In the night. And maybe it's now you have to make sure you are talking scriptures. And you know what I'm saying? Those are behaviors. But it's still the same nature. That nature that made you have three girlfriends. It's still the same nature. But he has found a way that he can hide under the. You get what I'm saying? He's still flesh. Flesh is a resilient. He will find a way to have his way. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So they have to help us. Maybe some of us used to be party before. We must go to a party every time. Anything that is happening, you must be there. You know, you can carry that same spirit into your walk with God. Anywhere is happening, I must be there. Now, it might not be club, it might not be, but it's the same spirit. And it's a nature. It's a nature. It's a sensual nature. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
that is not, does not align with the Spirit. You should be able to sit down by yourself a whole day, not go anywhere, not do anything, because you need that to sit down and meditate and pray and study your Bible. You need that kind. Now the inability to be able to take time, stay in your house and open the scripture and fellowship with God, have quality time. The person that doesn't want to do that is flesh. And flesh, all flesh needs to do. Flesh won't say, okay, let's go to party. No, you know you can't go to party. So flesh now, what else can you do? There are things you can do that can look Christian. Nobody can judge you. When they see you, you came again, welcome. But the people are standing you welcome, they don't know what you are running away from. You are running away from time in the secret, in your closet with God. And you can substitute time in your closet with God with hanging out with brethren. We're hanging out with brethren. But you know you are running away from something. You're running away from time in secret with God. Time of prayers and devotion and fellowship. It's flesh. Flesh is intelligent. And when you are doing that, when you are there, you are in the fellowship. You are just in revelation. You are chatting. Everything is awesome. But secretly inside your heart, you know, I should be at home. I should be at home. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
There are a whole lot of things. Sometimes it's just moderation. Be moderate. The Bible says, let your moderation be known to all. The Lord is at hand. Let your moderation be known. Be moderate with things. With anything, be moderate. You know that moderation is hard to deal with, that one. It's difficult. Nobody knows when the Holy Ghost is telling you it's okay.
It's true.
Nobody can hear about it. Inside, you just heard it. It's okay. But instead of obeying that voice, you now ask, mind, what do you think? Senses, what do you think? You ask for other opinions, and flesh has a say.
Yes, sir.
I don't know, you fetch from another conversation. And then you won't obey leading of the Spirit. You see, these secret things I'm talking of, these secret leadings, that's where a Christian is made. That's where a Christian, I'm telling you. The solid Christian is years of obeying secret leading of the Spirit where no one knows. It builds you up inwardly. It develops you strongly. You become authentic. You won't become a fake counterfeit spiritual brother. Heaven, such counterfeit people, heaven can't put weight on you. They can't trust you with things. They can't give you poor responsibility. Imagine heaven put mighty responsibility on you. And of course, most times when you have some kind of heavy spiritual responsibility, you can cut. No, nobody will know. Because you just come out and do a show as if everything is okay, but you are cutting corners. You will destroy a lot of things. Yes. Praise God. Maybe it's for someone who's inclined towards ministry. You're inclined towards ministry because you can see. You know, sometimes it shows up little from when you. Some of us, I'm seeing it, many of us, you're seeing that this one, there's something there. It's just something you can perceive to a degree. And because of that, maybe you're sensing graces somewhere. There are things. Praise God. And you know that you are just a baby. But there's a temptation. Flesh can want to now begin to, it's called vainglory. That's part of it too. It's time to now begin to demonstrate, but it's not time for that. You don't even have, anything. Imagine if you've not learned how to even sustain time in God's presence, praying, fellowshipping with God. Imagine you just like that, maybe from knowing revelation, sharing revelation, preaching, you now blow in ministry. And then people start coming. You're in trouble. You're in serious trouble. Why? You won't be praying. You don't know how to pray. You've not, all the things that carry responsibility, spiritual responsibility, you don't have those things. I don't know, are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. So you see, all these are the things that now they want to, they've been sharing revelation is nice. I say waters will come, right? But waters will flow and flow until they want you to float you and start moving you. Right? So it's time for flotation now. And movement. What is movement? It's change of nature. You must be ready. Those inward little changes that need to be made must be ready. We must learn now, begin to walk in integrity. It's what you call spiritual integrity. It's inward. Nobody can know it. Even your pastor, unless maybe it's hard, self, for anybody to know your walk spiritually, your inward obedience to the Spirit. But it's important. Praise God. Have we seen something today?
Yeah.
Amen. This message is, let's take it as the Lord highlighting something very vital to us, okay? That we will need to be armed with our walk going forward. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus. Worship you. Amen. Let's thank God for His word.
Mr. Prodes. Estima la condra venta, e sion tempere da vostra propri. Ora bena sia la vita. Ora le mostre bravi o le vostre. E la massia la vostra brava, la vostra brava, la vostra brava, Onche essa, ecla, esca, eta, ecla, elto, esio, mena, sema, emena. Emena, massa, brava, la vostra Let's ask for help. Let's ask for help. Let's ask for grace and help from above. For Maneka Stibahana, Emma Sibari Karanosti, to break alliance with the flesh. Let's ask for help to break every alliance with the flesh. Help. Help to obey the Spirit. To obey the leading of the Spirit. Manning Krasyon Darabosi Hadimrati Varanosi Frata. Ilimone Karadavazabra Ubrehidabos Nukundiniyadabosakataye. And Varon Delebos Dabrahari Adabasuri Adabozuti Christu Kundrili Adabozuti Krizurubosia. In venire mossi anda cata candoni che tone vostre prehere vosso creere vossa e nere vossa alla vossa ombra di basti care l'oste in varano hota la vostra oh worship thank you father thank you father thank you father thank you father in Jesus name In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord is saying for some of us, it's a time to repair some things. For some of us, it's because maybe it's ignorance. We've been walking in ignorance concerning the level of the requirement that the Lord has for us. But now, we can't walk in ignorance anymore.
Amen.
So it's a time to repair something. And the Lord is saying, this is grace coming to you. This is not condemnation. This is just grace. Because anytime God wants, this is how God loves. This is how what God's love feels like.
And if God does not love you, He will just leave you. You will be doing your thing. You will just be in your world. You will be doing your own. But the Bible says, whom He loves, He chastises. He scourges every son. Whom He... So this is the feeling of God's love. For God to be... See those secret things we do. That God's voice is breaking through to those areas. It's love. This is God's love. So I want us to respond to it in that way. And you know, whenever God's voice breaks through, it's not just raw voice. It is grace. It's coming. It means that there are grace to begin to respond to God, to begin to walk in the Spirit more than we had before. So I want us to just pray that the Lord will allow us this season with this word to have the right response. To have the right response. To make the right changes. The adjustment of heart. Adjustment of heart, attitude in our walk with God that we need to have. That God will help us. We have our hearts to muster that. We thank you Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you. We bless your name. Thank you. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Lord, we just worship you. Thank you for your love. You are demonstrating your love to us over and over again. Thank you. Thank you for you being rich in mercy. Say, God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love wherewith He had loved us. Thank you for that love. Thank you. That same love that made you send your Son to die for us, that made us quicken, that same love is also coming hard after us, making sure that all the things, the elements, all we need for full redemption is coming. Father, we give you glory for everything this afternoon. Thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for your word. Thank you for bringing reproof, for bringing correction, and bringing instruction in righteousness today. Thank you, our Father. We take nothing for granted, and we take nothing lightly. Lord, I'm praying that all the grace is needed to begin to now walk accordingly to the counsel you've brought forth. I pray for every heart here, everyone under the sound of my voice, every one of us. I pray, Lord, let there be a release of such grace and ability of the Spirit. Your word says, you are the one who works in us, both to will and to do, according to your pleasure. I ask, Lord, begin to work that out in us. Lord, I pray that you begin to break alliances with the flesh, no matter how old, how long, how strong they are. I pray your grace will begin to break them, and you will begin to release us into the liberty of the Spirit, where we no longer walk after the flesh anymore, but after the Spirit. Thank you, our Father. We give you all the glory. We worship your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim.